Hello, and welcome to Mother Daughter Earthcast, a show that will help you navigate the eco world and live a more colorful and conscious life. We'll inform, inspire, and embolden you.
And most importantly, we'll have fun along the way to a more planet-caring lifestyle together.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Mother Daughter Earthcast. I know that we have been a bit MIA for the past few weeks, so thanks for hanging in there with us. My mom and I have actually been working on a few really exciting projects, which we will keep you posted about once they are ready to go out to the world, but lots of good things in the pipeline for us, which is exciting. This episode is super fun. We actually chat with two different guests at the same time, Dorothy Buchel and Jeff Kittner from Friends of the North Haven Trail, which is an amazing hike and bike trail just a couple of minutes away from my mom's house. And the Friends of the North Haven Trail have just done an incredible job of organizing as a community group and making amazing change happen in their neighborhood. And we thought it was just a great way to highlight how you can get together with other people that you live close by with and make some actual change and get things going. They have just completely revamped a previously dead space in the middle of Dallas. They're doing some amazing work with a landscape architect in the area to rewild the, you know, empty grass space to make it Blackland Prairie again, and just doing some great things. And in our bonus episode with them, we take a little deep dive into how you can effectively organize as a group, how you can partner with different organizations in your community to make projects like these happen. So it's a great insight from just some amazing volunteers, and we hope you learn a lot. Coming up, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, you'll also be hearing a solo cast from me and my mom. I have lost the episode, but y'all, it was good. We talk, you know, just really behind the scenes on what we've learned from nature in the past several months. Focus on patience a lot. So I'm telling you this so I can put it out there and put a little fire under my butt to find this file somewhere in my computer. So if anyone has amazing tech skills for finding lost files, please reach out. And for some reason, if we can't find it, then my mom and I will re-record it because there was a lot of good stuff that came out of it. And it was just great to sit down and just chat with my mom, who is the plant lady, about all of this stuff. And I was able to weigh in as well. So before we go on with Dorothy and Jeff from the Friends of the North Haven Trail, go check out everything that they're doing at northhaventrail.org. That's spelled .org. And you can find all of their links for their Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts, and just learn about all of the great things that they're doing for the Dallas neighborhood. And of course, if you like what we're doing and would like to support us, we would be so grateful. You can head over to patreon.com/motherdaughterearth. Thank you much. We really appreciate all your help and support. And of course, you can keep up with everything that we're doing on Instagram at motherdaughterearth. And thank you again for tuning in and listening. So without further ado, please welcome Dorothy Buchel and Jeff Kittner from Friends of the North Haven Trail to Mother Daughter Earthcast.
Well, welcome to Mother Daughter Earthcast, and we are thrilled to have two volunteers with us with the Friends of the North Haven Trail. We have Dorothy Bouchel and Jeff Kittner with us today to talk about their amazing organization.
Thanks so much for being with us, y'all.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. We're excited. So I guess let's start off. Can y'all tell everyone about your organization and the trail, and I guess also what sparked the vision for this organization?
And for listeners, if you don't know, this trail is like a 2-minute walk from my mom's house. So it's like we're talking to local superstars over here. They basically kept us sane during COVID.
Oh, yes.
Please take it away. Tell us about the project and how it got going, and something about your awesome work.
Well, thanks, Dorothy. You want me to lead this one off?
I do.
Great. Well, the North Haven Trail is an approximately 8-mile trail that runs east-west in North Dallas. It's the main east-west trail connection for our North Dallas area. And originally, it started out as a shorter trail that ran from Valleydale near US 75 to Preston Road. And for about the first 5 or 6 years of the trail's existence, it was a 2-mile trail, east-west, and using the Encore power line easement, making a good use of that. Mm-hmm. And so have a great partnership with them. And over the last few years, we've been working on expanding the trail itself and have added a little over 6 miles, all using, again, the Encore easement. So now the trail runs from Valleydale all the way to Monroe in northwest Dallas. It's a little bit over 8 miles. And it really brings our communities and neighborhoods together in a way that we wouldn't be able to do so without having this amazing connection.
First of all, I know listeners, you probably know what Jeff is talking about when he says the power line easement, but it's basically that empty space around the massive power lines that I think every U.S. city has. And it's one of the reasons why we were so excited to talk to y'all about how you, along with the city of Dallas, have, you know, transform the space and maintain the space into such an awesome, you know, green area for everyone to use, because you see all this empty area around these darn power lines. My husband actually thinks that we should be raising longhorns there, so when people come to visit, they can feel like they're in Texas. I think your idea is way better, but we won't tell them that. So anyways, I just wanted to give people that visual so they kind of, you know, could see it in their heads. I would love for y'all to tell us a little bit about how you work with the city. Was it the city who initially installed the trails and y'all maintain it? And how does that partnership work so that maybe people in other communities can kind of start, you know, thinking about how they can partner with their own city for something like this?
Yeah, it's a collaborative effort with the city and the county and Encore and TxDOT and so many partners to bring this together. And without, you know, this collaborative effort, we would not be where we are today. So originally back in, you know, 2010 or 2011, before I think either Dorothy or I were even involved, and I didn't even live at the neighborhood at the time, a group of citizens, including our current council member, Lee Kleinman, and several others came together and formed a group with the idea of putting together a trail that would go along the Encore easement. And, it, you know, y'all live in North Dallas and are familiar. We just don't have that much park space in this area. And so they got together and came up with this idea that we're going to have a trail that'll run through the North Dallas area, and worked with Encore and the city and the county to come up with the funding and the route, and it all has worked out great. And so there really has been a true collaborative effort with a variety of entities. But it just started with...
Oh, I just wanted to throw in there, in addition, when the trail was created, there was a lot of pushback in the neighborhood. You know, people were worried that, you know, there would be more crime in the neighborhood because people are going to be behind their homes, and they're very concerned. And we had to, you know, really put people at ease to understand, you know, it's going to bring more people and it's going to be a recreational area for you and your families. It's not going to bring any more crime. And now people actually post, you know, when they're selling their homes, you know, on the real estate sites, backs up to North Haven Trail. And that's a huge asset for people. So I just wanted to throw that in.
Of course. And the way y'all are landscaping it, instead of it just being mowed endlessly by Encore, y'all have these beautiful pollinator gardens. And also, I know that the Kevin Sloan landscaping firm is going to do some wildscaping. Why don't you, can y'all tell us a little bit about some of the amenities that y'all are adding to the trail?
I'll talk about that for a little bit. We had, we have put in water fountains as the Friends of North Haven Trail group. Those were all paid for by volunteers and by people who have made donations to the trail. In addition to the water fountains, we've also got a lot of dog or pet waste stations, so people don't have to carry their little poop bag home. Mm-hmm. They actually have receptacles for that, and bags are available. In addition to those amenities for anyone using the trail, we've hired Kevin Sloan Landscaping to help us create a master plan for the trail, which will include many pollinator gardens and some pocket, I think we call them pocket prairies or pocket parks, where we'll have little areas where people can learn about what these pollinators do for the environment and, you know, interact and engage with them. We'll have some signs and displays that talk about what's going to be there, and some benches and hopefully some shade. We'll see about that. We have shade challenges simply because it's by the power lines, and the power companies do not want trees or shade coverings near their power lines just because of the challenges with that. But yes, we're super excited about that. Right now we have the wildflowers are in full bloom, and we have probably, I don't know how many acres of wildflowers blooming now. And the board has actually just approved last night $5,000 for us to spend for more native seeds for pollinating next year. We're super excited about that. And we're certainly thrilled with the gardens that we have right now, but the things that we're going to be doing with the rewilding, it's called, with Kevin Sloan Studio is going to just be a game changer. It's going to probably be the first trail in the U.S., I think, that has been rewilded, and we're going to have to be very careful and strategic about how we do it. But Kevin's put a great plan together, and we're trying to get some people to help us bring that plan to life right now.
That is awesome. And actually, it's one of the parts that I'm most excited about for the trail, because to give you a little bit of background, we actually interviewed the author of a book called Prairie Time. His name is Matt White. And on the podcast a few months ago. And after our interview, I typically, when we interview people, I get these fun ideas and I go home to Toby, my husband. I'm like, we should do this at home. And so that's what I did with the prairie interview. And we actually ripped out the strip of grass that's between the sidewalk and the street that's going alongside our house. We took that grass out or sod and replaced it with Blackland Prairie seed mix, which is just now growing. And I actually live in Oak Cliff, where the city of Dallas isn't as strict around there. So I think I can get away with this. But I've just created my signage for like informational purposes, so people know what it is. And I'm just super passionate now about introducing people to this Blackland Prairie ecosystem and showing people how beautiful it is. And I'm not saying you should do this on the trail, but for me, and I've told Toby, if a neighbor comes by and says they don't like it, then I'm going to tell them that if they don't like the ocean, they shouldn't build their house onto a beach. So, I have a plan, but it goes to my next, my question. And it's just, you know, didn't know if y'all have encountered this at all. Have you had any pushback? I know, Dorothy, you were mentioning that initially you had pushback from the neighbors about the trail itself, have you had pushback regarding the rewilding of the trail?
Since the plan hasn't been executed yet, we have not had any anyone challenge us. However, when we started doing the wildflower planting, which I think was, what, Jeff, maybe about 5 years ago, we had some people saying, oh gosh, there's just a bunch of weeds in the middle of the trail, and what's going on? You know, there's gonna, it's gonna bring mosquitoes, it's going to bring rats, you know, all of these bad, bad things. And we had to really be careful and explain, you know, no, it's also gonna bring pollinators and birds and butterflies, and it's going to enrich the trail. And people are so thrilled and excited about it now, but you know, we have been very careful about how we have it mowed. There's definitely, I think, 4 feet on either side of the trail that is not, that is maintained by the city and mowed. So it seems like it's intentional. So if you make it intentional, I think that, people are more, receptive. Mm-hmm. But yes, we also have no-mow wildflowers, pollinator area signs marking these areas so people can understand why they're not being mowed. Because, you know, to be honest, they look great for a few months out of the year. And then after that, when we're waiting for the flowers to dry up and the seeds to drop, it doesn't look that great.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure people understand why it looks like it does. And that's why when we start the rewilding, we're going to really have to do some sort of campaign where we make people understand, you know, why we're doing it. And I do plan to have some, you know, pollinator garden, monarch, way station, National Wildlife Federation signs around so people understand and can learn. And we'll also have some presentations on the trail to help people understand what it is and why they should care.
Perfect.
Yeah. The reaction to all the wildflowers and what's happening has been so positive. And this is the time to be out on the trail. If you bike it end to end, the flowers are in full bloom right now, and you'll see so many different colors and types of wildflowers. And Dorothy knows the kinds of flowers much better than I do, but it really is just amazing to go up and down the trail and see what's happening right now. And, you know, Dorothy referenced the people that got upset about what this was looking like when the flowers were growing in. Well, now we also have people who get upset when the flowers are mowed and they're mowed prematurely. And so people are excited about what's happening, and we hope to continue to do this.
Yes.
Yeah. And in fact, with the $5,000 that we got approved by the board last night for more wildflower seeds, one of the board members actually mentioned that there's no place in the North Dallas area in the city limits where you can get your picture made with the famous Texas bluebonnet. It's the state flower of Texas. And so we are going to invest in a good amount of bluebonnet seeds. In addition, we have bluebonnet seeds in there now, but it's not like, it's just a small percentage. So mm-hmm. I think that, you know, we can make this really an attractive place for not only people who live in the neighborhood, but people to come from all around and have their pictures taken.
I love that.
And to experience the trail.
I love that. As a little surprise, I actually sprinkled bluebonnets in my mom's yard without telling her. And then she saw them come up the next spring. So it was fun.
It was great fun. Awesome. It really was.
It's a great surprise, right?
It is. And she has a large flower bed area. So I just sprinkled them in there, and it was great.
Yes. With lots of pollinators, plants. And my yard is a monarch way station also. So it was a nice addition to the yard. But I love what y'all are talking about here, where the trail, I would presume, was initially put in as a place for people to exercise, and then also maybe some people would use it, you know, to get to school or to work or to friends' homes or whatnot, another little transportation artery. But y'all are doing so much more. Y'all are having a lot of educational opportunities for people, which I'd like y'all to talk about, and also some entertainment and bringing the community together.
Yeah, like Coffee on the Trail we saw. And so, yeah, tell us some about your community involvement events and how you're integrating the community with usage of the trail.
Yeah, well, one thing y'all raised was that the trail is not just for recreation, but it's also transportation. And part of the reason we were able to get county funding for this is because it is a transportation corridor for people to go east west in North Dallas. And there's schools, you know, Good Shepherd, YMCA, Grace Bible, all located along the trail, the JCC. There's just so many places you can get to on the trail. And we've been very lucky to forge partnerships with those community organizations. And then, as y'all referenced, set up different places on the trail to promote what we're doing, like the coffee on the trail that we did earlier this month or last month, where we just set up at the parking lot near Inwood and put up our tent and had a mobile coffee come out and give out coffee to people and sold some shirts and hats and try to answer questions about the trail and get people engaged and excited. And we're doing things like that. We have a movie night two or three times a year where we do an outdoor projection of usually a kids movie out on the trail near Edgemere. In the past, we've had a big holiday party in December. We didn't do it last year because of COVID, but we'll have that again this year. But just trying to really get out and connect people from different neighborhoods with each other and just take advantage of this beautiful trail that we have.
Yes. And I know that we had an eclipse, not the one that was last night, but it was some stars. It was when the planets aligned a few months ago during the summer, and there was like this huge star. It was around Christmas time. And
I have to laugh. There's not a plant attached to it, it's a little fuzzy for my mom.
But anyway, the point is,
there were some stars and a moon.
Well, no, some planets aligned, and it became a big, huge star in the sky. And there was...
Was it Venus, Mom?
Yeah, and some other planets. Okay. Anyway. The point I'm trying to get to is that I have a lot of trees around my home, and so do a lot of people in this area. And there was a lot of us who went to the trail. I mean, that was just there was an impromptu gathering of neighbors in the trail, so we could see this big star. So anyway, it adds so much.
Well, yeah, and I just want to say, you know, in the past year that we've had, you know, the kind of lockdown situation where people couldn't go anywhere or really do anything inside, we saw a huge spike in trail traffic starting March or April. We have a trail tracker, a counter on the trail, just in one spot, one part of the 8 miles. That's a little thing where you run over it or walk over it, and it records how many people we get every month. And it went from, you know, less than 10,000 people tracking in that area to over 30 the following month, just because people were like, I have to get out of my house, I have to do something.
Yes.
So it's been really great. People, you know, this year has been quite a blessing for the trail, I think, because more people recognize that the trail's there and it's a great place for recreation and to get from point A to point B in the area. It's been really, really great to see people, you know, finally encountering the trail and being able to get out there and see what we have available for them.
We saw that little graph on your website. We were actually going to ask you how you track people. And it's so fun to see that huge uptick. It's incredible. And I think that's one of the things, I know we were talking about this briefly before we went on air, about getting out in nature, connecting even in small ways on a daily basis. And it's one of the things that I feel as though COVID really offered that opportunity for many of us, is the time and really, you know, the space, and there's nothing else to do. So go out in nature. But I'm hopeful that that's not going to go away, or at least not fully. I'm really hopeful that a good portion of those people are going to recognize how important it is to get on that trail on a daily basis. And not just important, but like soul satisfying, especially with all your rewilding areas.
Yes. And I think, speaking of the landscaping and the rewilding again, one of the things I've recognized, I'm a Texas master naturalist, which is kind of like a master gardener, but it's more about managing and maintaining natural resources that we have in the state. And so we have all these local chapters. So I'm in the Dallas County chapter of the master naturalists. And one of the things that they really teach is that unless people know what they're looking at, they don't care. So if they're just, you know, walking down the trail and they just see some grass and some flowers, they just really don't even think about it. They don't think about why they're there or what they're doing there or what kind of flowers they are. But once people recognize and understand why they're important and what they are, then they're so much more engaged, it seems like, in you know, helping the pollinators and helping the wildflowers thrive and things like that. It's been really good for me to learn that through the Master Naturalist program, and I'm trying to take that education to more people on the trail so that they understand what they're looking at and therefore they care more about it.
So important. So important. Whenever, soon after the trail opened, I decided I needed a bike. I needed to have a bicycle. So
my mom's bike saga is amazing, by the way.
Yes, tell us about it.
Well, it's a little too big for me.
No, y'all. So she loves estate sales. That's her jam. She even sends me like notifications all the time about estate sales. But she was so just eager to get a bike that she ended up just walking out of an estate sale with a bike. She didn't try to ride.
Well, you couldn't.
She got home and we're like, Mom, this is a man's bike. Like,
for someone like 6'6" tall, but I can get my little toes
on it. She literally, like, we put the seat all the way down and she can barely touch the pedals with her little toes. Haven't you gotten a new one now?
No, not yet, okay. But I'm going to. But the point
is, not safe.
At the next estate sale, she buys a bike.
Anyway, I didn't want to, bikes are expensive. I didn't want to spend the money on a bike and find out that I really wasn't going to use it that much, but I am going to use it. So yes, I'm going to get a real bike, but
that's safe to ride.
Yes, but the point of the story, I was riding down North Haven Trail and I saw these bright green parakeets. And now we had parakeets in Mexico and I was like, okay, I have never seen parakeets in Dallas. Have y'all seen the parakeets along North Haven Trail? Jeff, have you?
I haven't. Dorothy, have you seen the parakeets?
Jeff, we were in your backyard last night. I could see them from the I could see them and hear them.
Well, see, here's the challenge. I don't know what I'm looking for. So this is why I'm glad Dorothy's here. So I have seen them.
They're
full. I've seen the butterflies everywhere.
Jeff needs more signs. We just need to give you more signs, Jeff.
Apparently, I'm going to have to take Jeff on the guided tour.
I need to know what I'm looking for. Right.
They're amazing. Anyway, I took photos because I was like, no one's going to believe me that I saw bright green parakeets in Dallas. So I went over to Wild Birds Unlimited and Dorothy, are they bishop parakeets? What's the name of that specific parakeet? Do you know?
I forget the name of it. I can find out for you. But yes, so the parakeets live on the tops of the, like in the power station thing.
Yes, they love the electricity.
Okay.
Yes. And so there's some down at the very end of the trail, right by the major highway, right behind the JCC, Jeff, behind the tennis course. There are, there's a bunch of them that live up there. And then there's some more that live further west on the trail. And there's also some of the same parakeets over by White Rock Lake, where apparently people say they were escapees from either a pet store or somebody's home and then have formed a colony. But yes, we do have parakeets on the trail and you can hear they have a very distinctive call. And you know, if I see them, we stop and look up. It's really neat to see. They're such a beautiful emerald green color.
Yeah. It's just, you don't see that in Dallas. You feel like you're misplaced in the tropics. So
they're definitely escapees. They are not native to Texas. They're not to our area of Texas.
And Dorothy, I think you just alluded to it, but can you tell, you or Jeff, tell us a little bit more about your Trail Captains program? Because I think that's another, we're just trying to give listeners a little taste of all the things that y'all do and all of the special aspects that y'all have brought to the trail to make it, you know, so inviting. And if y'all can tell us a little bit more about your Trail Captains program, I think that would be great for people to hear about.
Sure.
I can talk a little bit about that if you want, Jeff, and then you
fill in
the blanks. So the Trail Captain program just launched last year, and what it is, you know, with 8 miles of trail and a few board members, usually we were always going out and making sure that things on the trail looked okay, you know, if we had anything to report to the city or the people who do the major maintenance. So we needed to come up with some sort of plan to get more people telling us about what was happening on the trail and being responsible for telling people in their neighborhoods about events that we have or things that are going on the trail. So one of the board members came up with this trail captain's idea. So it's essentially every couple of few blocks, we have somebody who is designated, who has signed up to volunteer as a trail captain. And so these people report back to the trail board. You know, there's this, one of the water fountains doesn't work, or this needs attention from the city, or they help us put signs up to make sure that neighbors know that there's going to be an event, or that we're doing a fundraising thing, or that we're going to do a groundbreaking on our new bridge over the highway. So these people are our eyes and ears in their neighborhoods, and it's been such a great program. People were so excited to be able to help in some way, and they get out, and, you know, a lot of them get out, talk on the trail to other people. I think there's one trail captain who actually goes out and helps people with their bikes, like does some bike maintenance. It's amazing. And another one of the trail captains, he is building a little rock wall around the no-mo area on his section of the trail. It's just probably not, I probably shouldn't be mentioning that here, but he's doing that because the people kept mowing where they weren't supposed to. So upon himself to, you know, make a barrier so that people were more cognizant of what they were doing. So we're just so thrilled that we have the trail captains that can help us just maintain the trail, communicate information about the trail, and just be our advocates in the community.
Yeah, it's worked really well. And we have a fairly small board of 10 to 12 board members, and it's a long trail. And you know, even if, you know, I'm on the trail almost every day, but if I'm out for a walk, then I'm probably only going out to Preston. It's the farthest I'm going out, or and I'm just not, you know, you're not getting all the way out to Inwood or Webb Chapel or even to Monroe unless you're on a long bike ride. So it really helps to have people who live in those neighborhoods who are on those segments of the trail every day and can report in on what's happening, but also promote the trail in those neighborhoods. And you know, when our board, you know, I think 5 or 6 years ago, our board members were almost all in one geography, Preston to the Inwood area. But now most of our board members are, you know, west of Inwood. And I think Dorothy and I are in the minority on our board that we live on the original part of the trail. So we've done a great job of expanding both our board and also the trail captains. And I think that's really generated a significant amount of interest in the trail, and also keeping the trail clean and beautiful, and letting the city know of any issues that come up. And if you're out on, if you're out on the trail and you have something you want to report, you can go to our website and report it, and it'll go directly to the city.
Well, and honestly, kudos to y'all, because that's secretly super clever too, to even foster community. Because I don't know about you guys, but for me, if I have a reason to talk to someone, I'm much more prone to just like go up and talk to someone. So if I were, you know, a trail captain and I were, you know, wanting to promote the trail, then if you see people out there that you recognize and you've seen walking, then you'd be much more willing to like go up there. And next thing you know, neighbors are meeting neighbors. And now it's like fostering community, which is so important. So I think that's really awesome. Maybe we
one of our trail captains actually has had business cards made up. So he will hand out a business card saying, "I'm this Blast trail captain." It's pretty awesome.
It's awesome. The man's taking his job seriously. I love
it. He really
it.
Is. He really is.
Can y'all tell us about the fabulous woman who's planting the trees or the shrubs? I work out with someone once a week, and she's running down the trail often. And I was telling her about the woman who plants the trees or shrubs. And she said, "Oh, I saw her planting the other day, and she was watering her newly planted trees so gently with great care and love." And she, anyway, can you tell us about that woman and how she started doing it and the history of that?
Yeah, that's Colleen, and she's a retired veterinarian and environmentalist, and she is extremely passionate about planting trees along the trail and in the neighborhood. And she is amazing, and is just out there doing this on her own. And I think she found one other person to help her out, but you know, you'll see her out on the trail all the time, planting these trees, watering the trees, and just really is an asset to our community to do that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's great. I think she's a master naturalist and a master gardener.
Okay.
She's really taken her, retirement by storm. She's not retiring from doing stuff. She's just exploring her passions, and it's been so awesome to see her, do this stuff just on her own at random. She has a plan, and she and there's a couple other people who have also taken it upon themselves to plant things on the trail, and we're super appreciative.
So great. That's awesome,
especially since they're actually maintaining them too, because we have had events where people would plant something and then just leave it. So it's great that they're planting it and maintaining it, and you know, we're thrilled with her.
Wonderful.
And didn't she even take ownership of the Purple Martin birdhouses as well at Fred Astaire, Dorothy? Yeah. So we had a Boy Scout project, an Eagle Scout project from a few years ago, and the Eagle Scout. Oh, my 8-year-old daughter is making an appearance here.
Hi, howdy.
So the Eagle Scout planted, built these Purple Martin birdhouses, and then he went off. You know, eventually went off to college, and not that it was in disrepair, but they just weren't really being maintained the way they were supposed to be. And it had, and so it, they were being ignored a little bit. But then Colleen just volunteered to take them on.
That's awesome. And also, I know y'all had mentioned before that Encore has certain areas where they don't want trees planted because of the power lines and whatnot. Have y'all ever seen the Master Gardener test garden at Midway and Royal-ish? At the Midway Hills Church, because they've shown, which it might be good to take a little encore person over there, but they've shown that, like, here are trees to plant around power lines because they won't get big enough. And so I wonder if there's a way, again, to educate some people about how, like, you can have shade and also not encroach on power lines and bring a little bit more vegetation to the area.
Yeah, I think, I love that place. I was actually there a couple weeks ago for the Master Gardener plant sale there. But yes, I think that power lines and power easements are two different things as far as Encore is concerned. You know, you can definitely plant trees underneath your power lines, you know, behind your house or in front of your house. But when it comes to those big stations that are delivering so much power for the community, they need to be able to access their power lines with trucks. They can, you know, it's their easement, so technically they could roll all over our wildflowers and do whatever they want as long as it's, you know, taking care of the power lines. And they have some data that has shown that high trees or high structures can make power arcs. I'm not an engineer.
Interesting.
Electrical engineer, but they've been pretty concerned. So we have to be really careful about, you know, what we're allowed to plant.
Okay.
And with the rewilding and the plan that Kevin Sloan has done for us, he's been very attuned to that restriction. Since Colleen is not officially affiliated with us, we don't really say anything about her planting trees, but I think that if Encore had a problem with them, they would definitely come down.
Yeah.
And Dorothy, has talked to Encore about it. Yeah. So they're aware, but from their perspective, they're an amazing partner because they're letting us use their land as a city park now, but they do, of course, their primary function is to deliver electricity to all
of us.
And so they cannot have any impediments in the trail. So that would be something that can either interfere with the delivery of the electricity. That's something that might grow into the wires, which is why we don't see as many trees on the trail, but also something that could be an impediment within the trail, blocking access for trucks to provide service. So whenever we want to do a new water fountain or something that could be a possible impediment to the trucks for service, we always, you know, we want to talk to Encore about it, just make sure they're okay with it and work with them. But they've been an amazing partner, and we're just really fortunate that they have let us use this land to develop into a city park that wouldn't be here otherwise. It'd be wasted space otherwise.
Yeah. And I think kudos to Encore. Way to go, Encore. And again, a blueprint for other communities to replicate how, and you know, partnerships that you wouldn't necessarily think of. Electricity, distribution companies, cities, nonprofits equals amazing trail and green space in a city. I love it. We are going to start wrapping up a little bit, and I have one last question. Mom, I know we'll have maybe one or two. She always squeezes in some before we wrap up.
I'm going to save them for the bonus section.
Oh, okay. And by the way, for those who are listening, Patreon members are going to get a deep dive with Jeff and Dorothy about how they really operate this nonprofit and how they, you know, work with the city and kind of getting a little bit more into the nitty gritty on how you can pull off a project like this in your community and giving us some insight. And as a little taste of that, actually segued perfect into my last question. If y'all had any tips for just community groups that wanted to do something similar, what is the first or, you know, one or two things that you would suggest that they do to get the ball rolling?
Well, I'd say collaborate. Work with as many groups as you can. Because a project like this, it is not just talking to Encore or working with the city or asking the county for money or operating with TxDOT. I mean, there's so many partners that go into it that it can feel overwhelming at times. But don't give up. And, you know, you'll when the trail was in development, both the original stages and the expansion, we'd have task force meetings with 50 or 60 people representing all these different groups and more. Wow. And you just have to stick with it. And you've got to, you know, be persistent. And sometimes these things will fall through the cracks. But if you're persistent and you have good advocates, and we've been very lucky that our current council member, Lee Kleinman, and the council member in District 13, Jennifer Gates, have both been very passionate about this trail and getting expanded. And so find those advocates, work with leaders in your community, and you can get it done.
I would also add, it's important to have a plan and make sure you can articulate your plan clearly. And when people do have complaints or raise objections, hopefully you've thought of those objections before. So you're able to address those objections before they become blown up or blown out of proportion. Mm-hmm. You're easily able to say, yes, we have these wild areas, but here's why they're important. And here's why we think that there won't be a problem and nature balances itself out. And you can make sure you know what the objections might be and how you're going to address them when you have these task force meetings and when you're talking to the community members.
I think that's a great point because, of course, being able to foresee what those opposing arguments may be. And as we've talked this whole time, reframe it for people through education, right? I think that's what we do all the time is just trying to reframe things for people and say, as y'all, you know, told the initial homeowners, no, this is not going to bring more crime. Actually, here are the studies that show that green space adds value to your property and brings, you know, the community so many amenities. And now, how many years later, we're really seeing that happen. So it's just awesome. Well, thanks, y'all. Mom, do you want to wrap us up?
Well, we have one question we always ask the people on our podcast, and it is, what do you think is the most important thing that each individual can do to reverse global warming and climate change?
Which is an interesting question for this topic, but we're going to ask anyway.
Sure.
Well, that's a great question. It's one my 8-year-old, who made an appearance here earlier, is interested in, is figuring out how can we impact climate change and what can we do there. So I would love to get your answers, and that way I could tell her what she should be doing, because it's something she's interested in, is passionate about, and has asked me about it. So would love to get y'all's input on that too.
Wow, first guest to reverse the tables on us. Mom, do
that's
you
never happened
it's
before?
Never happened. Way to go, Jeff. I have an answer, but Mom, it's your question. Do you want to give yours?
Well, the one thing that a lot of people will bring up is that just do take ownership and make individual changes in your life. And those little changes will add up over your lifetime, and hopefully other people will start making the same changes. And that seems to, our small daily choices are so important.
Can I answer the question though? I do want to actually answer.
Yes, please do.
So I think one place where we can all make a little bit of difference to your point is, don't always think you have to drive somewhere. If you can, I mean, there are places that are accessible. Use our trails. If there's some place that you can get to on your bike or by walking, I try to do that and try to set a good example by just being on my bike, being out walking more often, because there are places, like if I'm going to Preston Royal, to that shopping center there, you know, I could ride my bike there, mm-hmm. Preston Forest. There's places you can go on your bike. And if we just get into the mm-hmm. mindset of in these, you know, hyper-local communities, you know, I'm not going to be able to bike downtown or anything like that on a regular basis. But in the hyper-local level, if you have, a, you know, if you have somewhere, a meeting at Preston Royal or Preston Forest or something like that, you can get there on bike or by walking.
I love that. I love that. And it's something that you guys have provided our Dallas community with that access, because honestly, Dallas is not very bikeable or walkable. So thank you for that.
But y'all are helping change that.
You are helping change that. Well, Dorothy and Jeff, thank you so much for being with us. Before we officially let you go, I know that everyone can learn more about your amazing work and everything you're doing for the Dallas community at northhaventrail.org. And of course, all of your links on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are on there. Is there anything else that y'all want to direct listeners to, maybe to donate or anything other than your website that you'd like people to know about?
Yeah, if you're looking for donation opportunities, northhaventrail.org is the best place to do that. And then, of course, you referenced our social media pages. We're on Facebook at, I think, Friends of North Haven Trail. And then on Twitter, we're at North Haven Trail. And then we have a relatively new Instagram account. One of our board members, Brooke Traister, just set that up in the last couple weeks.
I saw that.
And so, follow us on Instagram and on Twitter and on Facebook. And you'll get information about what's happening relative to trail expansion and events and advocacy opportunities and opportunities to make donations. If you want a water fountain or a dogway station or a bench or something that you're interested in contributing, we'd love to have your support. And of course, there is a donation opportunity for the bridge over 75, which will connect North Haven Trail with the Cottonwood Creek and White Rock Creek and Sopek Trails, which we just had a groundbreaking on earlier this month. And so that would be a high dollar donation opportunity. I don't know if Mother Daughter Earth is looking for a multi-million dollar sponsorship opportunity, but you would get 200,000 views a day for the cars driving underneath.
So there you go. Something to consider. Well, Jeff and Dorothy, thank you so, so much for being here with us. We so appreciate all of your work and everything that you're bringing to our local community and also to other communities by showing them giving them an amazing blueprint for how they can turn wasted space in an urban area to green space that everyone enjoys and can use to walk, get around, commute, and meet neighbors. It's just so many. It's ticking all of the boxes. So thank you both for being here with us today and sharing all of your wisdom and expertise.
We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you both for the opportunity. It was fun.
Good.